We're going to discuss in the shiur today the topic of checking the reyos, the lungs, the different reasons for the trephis of lungs, what the different aspects of checking, how it's checked, why it's checked. And this will tie in nicely with the Gemara and Daf Mem Vav, which begins to discuss the concept of the different trephis of the lungs. The Rambam says, Hilchos Shechita, Perek 11, Halacha Gimel, Kol Behema V'Chaya V'Ov, V'Chezkes Bri and Hein. All animals and birds are considered healthy. V'Nechoshishin Lehen Shema Yesh Ben Trefa. We need not concern ourselves that perhaps they're trefa. L'fikach, Kishi Yishchitu Shechita K'Sheira, once they're shefted properly, they don't require any checking. Maybe they perhaps have one of the different trephas. Not necessary to check them. That if we have a reason to suspect that they have a trepha, we check just that particular area. And otherwise, there's no need to check them at all. The Rambam learns this halacha from the Gemara's discussion on Daf Yud Aleph, continuing a little bit to Daf Yud Beis, of how do we know that we go after Rov, the majority, and here we discuss not a countable majority, where we have in front of us nine pieces of Heter and one piece of Isser, but rather we refer to a majority that's Lesa Kamon, meaning we haven't counted the elements, but nevertheless we're convinced by a Kabbalah that we have from our teachers, from the Ribbono Shel Olam ultimately, that there is in fact a majority. And that majority is that most animals are kosher. And once they're shechted, we can presume that they're not trefa. The Gemara analyze this in line with Rabbi Meir's opinion that he's choshesh lemiyuta, he's concerned about the minority, and the Gemara's conclusion is that even Rabbi Meir, when it's possible for him to be concerned about the minority, he was concerned, but when impossible, such as in certain cases of korbanis that he just had to eat, they all couldn't be checked, so then it's lo efsher, and even Rabbi Meir would rely on the majority. So Rashi notes on the spot that Dibra Maskil Pesach and Daf Yud Beis Amar Aleph, Rashi notes that if according to Rav Meir, Hecha de Efsher Efsher, where it's possible to verify the majority, we're obligated to verify it. The implication is that the Rabbanan who argue on Rav Meir, which is what we hold, we don't pass in like Rav Meir, that means even Hecha de Efsher, there's no obligation to check at all. And we can rely fully on the majority, and we don't have to check. Now, this contrasts with some of the things we learned in the beginning of Chulin about certain presumptions about the abilities or the knowledge of Shoichdim that we haven't necessarily met. Rov Mitsuyan Eitzel Shchita Mumchenei, or we can presume that they are Mulzakim and they're not going to lose power in the middle of the Shechita. If they're there, we have to go ahead and verify that. But if they're not there, we could rely on these majorities. Similarly, we learned in Pesachim that when we're talking about a house that throughout the year has had chametz, and now we go ahead and take over that house after the Zman Bedika, so even though there could rightfully be a presumption that the house was checked because people do their mitzvah of bedikas chametz at the appropriate time, but nevertheless, if the person is available, it's our obligation to ask. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch as well. So that compares with here, where Rashi says the maskanas haGemara is that only Reb Meir is after verification, but we, even when possible to verify, we don't bother verifying it. It's not necessary. The difference is that earlier in the Masechta, we're trying to establish that the shechita took place properly, that the animal, until it's shechted, is aser, it's prohibited. Sefer Minachai, it's cheskis ein zavuach, it's not shechted. So we have to positively establish that the shechita took place. At that point, we have an obligation to verify to the extent possible. Similarly, the Gemara Psachim, we also have an obligation to verify that the chametz dika house throughout the whole year was actually checked and cleansed of its chametz. If it's possible to verify, we have to verify it before we rely on presumptions about people fulfilling their mitzvah obligation in a timely fashion. But over here we're discussing something completely different. Here the animal never had a chazakah that it was treifa. On the contrary, we presume, we're allowed to presume, that's our Kabbalah, that the animal is free of such injuries or diseases, and therefore it's not even necessary to check, and that's the Gemara's conclusion, because we're not being mozi from cheskes issur. So that's how it would compare with what we learned previously in the Masechta and the Gemara Psachim. Nevertheless, Rashi says that all that's true except when it comes to lungs. When it comes to checking lungs for sirchis, for adhesions, which we'll talk about in more detail later, when it comes to checking lungs for sirchis, so at that point you have to check them, because it's matsui, it's commonplace that there are problems with holes in the lungs, which lead to adhesions, as we'll see. So since it's commonplace, so now we're not dealing in a vacuum anymore that we can rely on our presumption that the lungs were not damaged, just as we rely on that presumption for all other trephes. But rather, here we have at least some measure of concern that obligates us to check it if possible. Rashi notes that if impossible, we can still rely on the fact, such as the lung was taken away, we can still rely on that. But you cannot publicize that. Whether that's halacha or not, in the end of the day, is questionable if you have a lost lung. But the point of Rashi is that since it's matsui, it's commonplace to some degree that there are punctures in the lungs, and they could lead to other signs of the punctures, so therefore lungs have to be checked, in contrast to all other trephes, which is not necessary to check. The Rashba questions Rashi's reasoning. He agrees with Rashi's logic, but he questions Rashi's reasoning, and he says that if what Rashi is saying were true, that the reason why we have to check for trephes, the Rashman Daf Tes, Amid Aleph, if we have to go ahead and check for, because it's commonplace, so then it would imply that not only should we have to check lungs for sirchus, for adhesions, we should also have to carefully look over the lung for any holes, which would include, as a matter of course, that we would have to inflate every lung and submerge it in water and go ahead and check to see if there are any bubbles, to go ahead and find any holes, any minute holes that we could not discern by visual inspection. The Rashba says that is not the minhag, that's not the custom to require inflation of every lung. The Rambam confirms that as well. He says in the Ma'ariv, in the Rambam in Halacha, in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph says that in Sfarad, in Spain, and in the Arzis HaMairav, the Mideastern countries, we never find such a thing that anyone, as a matter of course, should blow up the lungs and check them for that. And therefore, the Rashba says that based on what was commonplace minig, it doesn't make sense to say that the reason why lungs have to be examined is because of the prevalence of holes, because the prevalence of punctures would obligate one also to inflate the lungs and to submerge them to check for very small holes. But since that's not commonplace, since it's only inspected for adhesions, so it must be some other reason. That's what the Rashba proposes. Now, the Prima Gaudim argues, the Prima Gaudim in his Psicha, to Siman Lamed Tes, argues that the Rashba's reasoning is less than ironclad, because once a lung is inspected for adhesions, so the likelihood of there being a hole without an adhesion is extremely minute. So even though we're not specifically looking for the small holes, but once we've looked and pronounced the lung adhesion-free, we can safely presume that probably there's not a hole that did not go ahead and spawn an adhesion on its own. So therefore, the Prima Gaudium says that the Rashba's logic is less than conclusive, and it could well be that what Rashi's saying, that the reason why we inspect lungs in contrast to other trephas is because of the prevalent nature of holes in the lungs, that could well hold the muster, and that's fine. But nevertheless, let's continue with the Rashba, what the Rashba held was the reason. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Yoina, who offers two reasons why lungs, specifically adhesions on lungs, are different. One reason Rabbeinu Yoina gives, he says, is because here the evidence stays with us. Whoever is going to purchase that lung, and Jews certainly, as long as they were able to purchase lungs and ate lungs. That was a cheaper form of meat, so that always fit well with the Jewish culture. And Jews bought lungs, and so there would be someone who got the lung from the shochet, or a piece of the lung from the butcher, and all of a sudden he would find in his pot that there was an adhesion there. That would be bad enough that he'd have to worry about his pots and his silverware and dishes, but that wouldn't be the end of it. He'd have to go all around town back to the butcher and have to chase everyone down who bought from this animal, and there would be quite an isayin. It would be quite a challenge to people to go ahead at such a late juncture to deal with the fact that they had just cooked up a trefa, and it would lead to very bad things. So one thing Rabbeinu Yoina says, it's one thing if the evidence is not going to be there. You want to rely on a presumption that everything is okay, and that's our Kabbalah that we have, without examining, that's just fine. But don't do it when the contrary evidence might be right there, and the nisayon might be very great. So therefore, because of that, Rabbeinu Yonah proposes as one reason why there was a custom to check for adhesions. Another reason Rabbeinu Yonah says is because even though, according to the Rabbanan, which is how we conduct ourselves, that there's no need to check for something when we have a clear majority of Kabbalah that the animal's healthy, but if something's staring you in the face, it doesn't mean you should close your eyes. When one opens up an animal, and an animal must be opened to take out the innards before processing it, that's just what has to happen. So when you're opening up the animal and the lungs are staring you in the face, to at that point close your eyes and destroy the evidence and not look at what's in front of you is considered ma'alim ayin mina iser. That's ignoring the evidence. And even though we're not obligated to look after the evidence, but we can't ignore it either. It's staring us in the face, we're obligated to take a look. So those are two reasons that the Rashba, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, gives for the reason to check specifically surface. So Rashi then is understood, perhaps, that we're checking for punctures and not necessarily sirchus because of the prevalence of the punctures. And Rabbeinu Yonah gives two reasons why we should specifically check for adhesions, both because the evidence will be found later and the nisayon, the challenge, will be much greater, and we don't want to put people into such a challenging position. Certainly not everyone in town. That's a little much. So just let's play it on the safe side and do a little more than's technically required in halacha. Or, according to also Rabbeinu Yonah, it's considered malim ayim mina iser to ignore that which is right in front of our eyes and just throw it out without looking. The Gemara never specifically states that there's an obligation to check a lung. It comes from the Rishonim. There are allusions to this in the Midrash. Midrash Yilamdeinu in Parshas Kedoshim discusses this concept of the shochet going ahead and checking the lungs. There are other allusions to it. And there are other rayas, proofs from our Gemara, perhaps that you don't have to check lungs. See many instances of situations where you only had to check if there were problems. The Gemara discusses many situations. You had a noisy lung on the Ardaf Memvava Medbeis. Other situations where the Gemara required us to check, but we could go ahead and conclude from there, extrapolate, that perhaps if there's nothing wrong with the lung, you don't have to check. So the Prima Gaudium takes some of these issues to task. In the end of the day, There's no clear proof from the Gemara one way or the other, but there are definitely allusions in the Midrash, other Yerushalmi, a Gemara in Beitza that discusses this concept, Daf Chaf Hei. There are different allusions to that fact. But at the end of the day, that is the halacha, that we have to check the lungs. So is brought in the beginning of Siman Lamed Tes in Siman Lamed Tes in Yeridaya by both the Mechaber and the Ramah, that at the very least, which is what's discussed in the Medrash, the Mechaber says that you don't have to check any other treifas except the Reya. And if someone doesn't do that, so then he's setting himself up for divine retribution with an untimely meeting with a heaven-sent snake. So that's not, it makes more sense, it's more prudent to just check the lung. And the Ramah mentions that there is a custom to blow up all the lungs, as we mentioned, which would fit according to Rashi as we've understood it. Uviksas mekomas mekilin shelo lenafcha. Other places, they don't blow up lungs as a matter of course, only if they found a sircha and they took it off, an adhesion, v'chein ikr. And that is the main custom. The Pri Megadim in Sifsei Das Lamed Tes Os Dalid says that nowadays, even though technically an internal examination, that means the shofet putting his arm into the cavity after the guts have been removed and cutting holes in the diaphragm and then sticking his hand in and carefully running them over the lobes of the lung to see whether there are any adhesions, even though that's technically enough according to halacha, but nowadays the Pri Megadim says when things have the moral consistency has decayed somewhat, it's absolutely obligatory to also do an external examination. And that's what's done as a matter of course nowadays. All lungs are inspected internally by the shochet, or a special bodek examiner. The reason why it's done internally is to make sure that nothing tears or rips off in the process of taking the lungs out of the body cavity. And then they're also examined externally by the bodek or by another bodek. And that fulfills this obligation, which the Rambam says is completely only a minig. It's not the halacha, it's a minig. None of these svaris we said make something absolutely obligatory. That's what the Rambam says in Halacha Zayin, in Perakut Aleph. That is just a minig. It's a custom. So now, we've established that lungs have to be checked for holes. Now, there are all sorts of other treifas involving lungs, which we're going to see in his Daphim of Gemara. There are treifas regarding deformities in the lungs, the wrong number of lobes, there's a specified number of lobes, the wrong number of lobes, problems about blisters, about hardening, atrophy of the lung, problems concerning changes in color in the lungs, other things, the lungs being full of fluid, other things like that, and finally, the issue of adhesions. Most, if not all, of the problems associated with the lungs, which are mentioned from Siman Lamed Hei through Siman Lamed Tes in Yerideya, ultimately devolve into a question of a puncture, either a current puncture or an ultimate puncture in the lung. There could be one or two instances of some other problem with the lung, a different reason why it's a treifa. Now, Rashi mentions on Daf Memvav Amid Beis Dibra Masvel Tata Inkav. Rashi mentions that the problem with the treifas in the lung is that the air is going to escape. Therefore, a lung has two membranes that encase it, encase the flesh material of the lung, the spongy material. If only one of those membranes is punctured, but the other one is still intact, Rashi explains the air cannot escape, and if the air cannot escape, so the lung is still kosher. But if the second membrane is attached, even if the air, the puncture of the second membrane is not directly over the puncture of the first membrane below, since the air can escape, that will make it a treifa. So Rashi is clearly on record as saying that the problem with punctures in the lungs is that the air will escape, which we can understand to mean that one of the main functions of the lung is to oxygenate the blood. It's where the oxygen passes to the blood itself. It's where the transfer is made. And if it's losing its air, that's clearly going to affect the liveliness and of the viability of the animal. So that's clear. And that said, Nekudas HaKesef also makes mention of the same in Simen Mem Gimel Os Beis. That's the main reason for most of the lung treifas, but there's another svara that's mentioned by some Rishonim when discussing the case of Atum, which basically means hardening or atrophying of some element of the lung. So the lung is not expanding properly. It's not as it's supposed to. And there, in that case, the Rashba mentions that the problem is that it's not going to cool off the heart, the lung in an animal completely envelops the heart, or for the most part envelops the heart, and as it expands and contracts, that waves air onto the heart and cools it off. Just like a good motor needs a fan, so the body also needs a fan. And when the fan is not acting properly, apparently the body's motor, which is the heart, can overheat and the animal can die. So that's a svara mentioned by the Rashba. The Rambam says the problem of Atum is again a nekev, it's going to lead to a puncture. But the Rashba does mention that extra function of the lung, at least an animal lung as we'll see, which is to go ahead and act as a part of the radiating, heat radiating system off of the heart. But we'll come back to that, it's not really relevant to us at the moment, but we'll come back to that when discussing chicken lungs and see how that impacts on how whether we have bichoshesh for treifus on the lungs of a chicken. Now we're going to focus on the problem of adhesions. There's machlokas rishonim as to exactly what the concern over adhesions is. The Gemara on Menvavam and Beis mentions that there's a difference in adhesions of the lung of whether the adhesion is discovered between adjacent lobes or whether it's discovered by skipping over a lobe. We have in the lung, it's constructed on the right side, there are three upper lobes and one very large lower lobe. The upper lobes are called unos. The lower lobe is called an uma. On the left side, there are two upper lobes and one larger lower lobe. The Gemara mentions, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, that when they're adhered to one another, that means with a sircha, they're adhered to one another, if it's kisidran, if it's one lobe, to the connecting lobe, because they overlap the lobes, there's part of them that overlaps, so that's not a treifa. That's hainu ribisai. That's how the lung grows. That's how it grows. But if it's shalokisidron, then that's not possible to check, and that is a treifa. So if it's not right next to each other, it's a treifa, cannot be checked, there's nothing to examine. If it's next to each other, that is not a treifa because that's the way lungs grow. That's the Gemara. This is a very critical machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos and the Rashba on one side, Rashi and Tosfos, and then there's a sure third shita of the Ravid. Three shitas. Rashi Shita is that there's no adhesion without a hole. Ein sircha below nekev. If we see an adhesion in the lung, that means that there was some puncture in the membranes, in the enveloping membranes of the lung that allowed that sircha to get there. It cannot get through the membranes by osmosis, according to Rashi. There has to be a puncture, which means that we have a hole and that should be a treifa. So, sircha shalokisidron, understood, is clear evidence. incontrovertible evidence according to Rashi that there was a hole. If there's a hole, that's Nekuva Sareya, that's one of the treifas, and the animal is a treifa. The big question according to Rashi is why when it's Kisitron, why when they're next to each other, is it not a treifa? Because according to Rashi, we know that there was a puncture. That's the only way that adhesions can get there. And how is it possible then, according to Rashi, it's not, that it could be that it's not a treif. Before we answer that question, let's just see how Tosus understands. Tosus understands that, in fact, the presence of an adhesion is not proof at all that there was a hole. It could well be that all these different fluids seep through the membranes of the lung osmotically, and there's no puncture at all that would render the animal a trapha. No puncture in the red. So what's the problem, according to Tosfos? The problem is that the lung expands and the lung contracts, and therefore, when the movement of the expansion and contraction is inhibited and restricted by this adhesion, which is sticking on two lobes that are distant, that ultimately is going to cause it to rip. It's going to cause the membranes to rip, and that will cause a puncture, which will cause a trapha. And we have a klal that in trephas, that if it's going to happen, it hasn't happened yet, but if it's something that certainly will happen, sofo linokev, sofo likara, it will be punctured, it will rip, that's considered even now before it happened as a trefa, because there's a deformity here that will bring the animal to an early demise. It's going to make it die. So this is, even though the animal doesn't necessarily know it yet, but we know it, that's our Kabbalah, and there it is trefa. Again, according to Tosfos, we have to see what the precedent is and what the source is for considering such future problems as a trefa even today. But let's go back to Rashi and see how it is that Rashi, who says that an adhesion is certain evidence of a puncture, how can it be that a sircha kisidron, one lobe next to each other adhering naturally? And when we say adhering naturally, we have to understand that the lobes are big things. Some are larger, some are smaller. But only part of the lobes lie one on top of the other. That's called chituche. That's called the chopped portion of the lobes, because really it's as if they're sliced and they lay nicely, evenly upon another. Then there's the rest of the lobe. When we're discussing here Kisidron being well, there are a number of factors, and we're not going to do all of Simon Lamites now, al regal achas, that wouldn't do it justice. But still, we can at least understand that our discussion is going to be limited for the most part in discussing Rashi, certainly, to bein hachituche, between the slices of the loaves which are neatly and firmly one on top of the other. So now there are many different opinions in Rishonim as to why Rashi, according to Rashi, sircha kisidron is not a problem. They're all brought by the Prima Gadim in the Nispsicha to Simon Lamites. Reason number one is because Rashi really explains it himself very nicely in Dibra Maskel Heine Ribusayim and Daf Memvav Amid Beis. Rashi explains that since the lobes lay one on top of another, this adhesion, as opposed to other adhesions in an animal that come to fill a puncture, these adhesions are going to get stronger and stronger and stick in place. Now, this is a band-aid that works. As opposed to what the Gemara says on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph about the Veshit, and on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph about the Reya, that those adhesions, that Sircha, She'ola, Machmas, Maka, Beveshit, or Bereya, are not going to stay in place, but over here, when it's between the Unos, that's well protected, and that's just going to get stronger and stronger and be a bandage that lasts. And since it's a bandage that lasts, so that means that this animal has a cure. That this hole here, now that it's produced such a sircha, is cured. And we don't have any more of the air escaping, and we have a solved situation over here. And there's a problem with that. A problem that's expressed by the Shach and by the Taz, Simon Lamed Vav, Os Dalet in the Taz, Os Vav in the Shach, and by the Prima Godim, Bamakom, on the Taz, Mishpat Zov. The problem is that the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth Perek indicates that Ein Refuah Letrefus. Bezos Hashem, if I'm invited back to say another shir, maybe one time we'll devote a shir to Refuah Letrefus. But that's not the topic of today's shir, so we can only pay it lip service. But the Gemara says Ein Refuah Letrefus. Something that's listed as a trefa, considered a trefa, cannot be healed. And the simple meaning of the Gemara, before we delve deeper, as I give some treatment in my Sefer Dover Shalom, before we delve deeper, simple meaning is that once trefa, always a trefa. That's how the Shach and the Taz and the Prima Gadim understand it. Once trefa, always a trefa. And even if you have the best bandage in the world, it will not help. Once it has the scarlet letter Tess hung on its neck, there's no way out. It's a trefa forever. Can't solve the problem. It seems that Rashi doesn't hold like that. The Pri Chodesh says Rashi doesn't hold like that. We'll see who in fact does hold like that, but not today. But that's answer number one in Rashi, is that in fact there is refuah letrefa. What to do with that Gemara and Daf Samaches is a different discussion. But there is refuah letrefa. Approach number one. Approach number two in Rashi is that it never became a trefa. It never became a trefa, because really, this hole was always covered by the adjacent lobe. So the air is never escaping here. We find such another situation mentioned by the Gemara on Daf Memches when discussing a punctured rea that sticks itself, adheres itself eventually to the animal's rib cage. Not to the ribs, but to the flesh, the muscle in between, the intercostal muscle in between the ribs. That's considered kosher. So we find such a concept there, and there the Rashba explains, as is the explanation here according to these Rishonim and Rashi, the Rashba explains that the reason why it's kosher is because it never was a trefa in the first place. Such a hole is covered by the intercostal muscle, the muscle in between the ribs. Such a hole in our case in Rashi is covered by the adjacent lobe, and therefore it's never a trefa at all. That which it develops an adhesion is only icing on the bandage. That just goes ahead and makes sure that they're never going to separate and we're never going to have a problem here of an exposed hole. But really the hole is never exposed. Or as we might understand in Rashi, perhaps if we look carefully at Rashi on Daf Mem Gimel Aleph, when he discusses that the adhesion, the membranes that grow to fill the hole, Neveshet is not good. Rashi distinguishes there between a stima me'ikara, Rashi did remaskal eino kruma, that's from Gimel Aleph. He distinguishes between a closure from inception and a closure lacharzman. There, Rashi could be understood to be making the case that only if the animal was never a trefa, that's it'll remain kosher, and that's in fact how the Shachtaz and Prima Gadim understand Rashi. They ignore the fact, though, that there is a steer in Rashi, inherently on Mem Gimel, over here on Daf Mem Vav and Mebeis, later on Daf Mem Ches, that Rashi, Mem Zayin and Mebeis, Rashi clearly says that something can heal itself. That could be that Rashi holds that whenever there is a stima meikara, then the adhesion will be better quality. But whatever it is, it does seem, as how the Pri Chodesh understands it, that Rashi says that is no problem and it can solve itself. So you have two answers. One is that a proper closure can do the trick, and the other answer is that it never was a trefa in the first place because it was closed. Then there's also the answer of the Ra'ah. And the Prima Gadim says the Rush also is saying the same thing. The Ra'ah in Bedek Habayis, Daf Memdal and Amid Beis, in the old prints of Bedek Habayis, of Taurus Habayis. The Ra'ah says that not all holes are trefa. There are some that will heal themselves, some that will not heal themselves. If we find a hole, we have no way of knowing if this is a hole that will or will not heal itself. Therefore, we have to make it a treifa because of suffix, because we don't know. But once we see that the animal is shechted and the hole was closed by a good adhesion, so then we can conclude that this was a hole that was always going to heal itself in the first place, and it was never a treifa. Igloi milsul lemafreya, we now retroactively understand that this hole was never, ever a treifa. So we have three approaches in Rashi. Probably got to mention the fourth, but I have to mention it here. Three approaches in the Rashi, either that the treifa actually healed itself, or that it was never a treifa in the first place because it was covered by the adjacent lobe, or that really holes are only suffix treifas to start. We're never sure whether they're going to develop a cure or not. If we see the cure, we know it wasn't a treifa. If we don't see the cure, then we have to make the animal treif because of a suffix, because we cannot tell. One point to consider in Rashi is that sircha shelo kisidron is a treifa. Why? Because the Gemara says, Nafim Zainam and Aleph, because even though the hole is now closed, and even though there's no air that's coming out, so this is a fully functional lung, but nevertheless, the fact that this closure, this membrane, this sircha, is not going to be kayim, because that's how Ribbono Shel Olam made animals, that's the nature that he put in them, that a makah shebereya, and a makah shebevesha, and according to many poskim, any old makah, any old puncture, any place in the animal, that's somewhat debated, but that's not our topic now, but certainly a makah bereya, when it develops an adhesion, it's not going to last. It's eventually going to fall off. And therefore, that's not a good bandage. That's an improper bandage, a faulty one, and that's not going to make it not a treifa. That's not going to take away its treifa. The question is, why not? Because at the moment, we're not missing anything. The bandage is there, the hole is covered, so what's the problem? Now, if we said that we had a Kabbalah, and we knew that certainly within 12 months, which is considered the time limit that a treif is going to die, as is made clear by the Gemara later in Zion, Nunches. If we knew that we had a Kabbalah that any such sircha would eventually fall off within 12 months, an animal would die because of the puncture and loss of air, so that would explain everything. But we don't have such a Kabbalah. In fact, the Prima Godim in the Prima Godim and Mishmah Zav Simen Lamed Gimel Os Dalid says that he really thinks that once the hole is covered with an adhesion, the animal can be marbe kechol yamim. It can live a nice, healthy, happy, long life. No problem at all. Maybe even have children. Perhaps. Which treifas are not supposed to have. Also, Tafman Ches, maybe even have children. Why? Because there's no problem. Air isn't escaping. Nothing's going to happen. So that's fine. So why in the world is such a thing a treifa? Why is it a treifa? Now, if we subscribe to the once treifa, always treifa rules, then that's not really a question. Because there was a puncture, so now it's a treifa. I don't care what bandage you put on it. But if we don't subscribe to that, which it seems that Rashi perhaps doesn't subscribe to that, then we have to say that it's a treifa because of a reason that the Rashba mentions when he's considering congenital defects. Yaseris or chaseris, there's an extra body part or a missing body part from birth, a congenital defect. The Rashba says that such things could live a long life, but they're nevertheless a treifa. Why? Because that particular defect is something that would kill an animal if it transpired in its lifetime. So this is a treifa-causing defect. It's a mortal defect. The fact that when it's congenitally blemished and defected, that the animal's not going to die does not affect the fact that it's a treifa. Treifa enachaya means, as we discuss in detail, my sefer, treifa enachaya means that the animal has a defect or a disease which could kill it, had it occurred in his lifetime. Even though it will not kill it now, but since the defect is there, and this is a defect that causes such things, that's considered a treifa. What the Rashba says in Tshuvas. Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadichas. And therefore the Prima Gadim says, just like that, this is the same case over here as well. The hole is closed by the adhesion, and the adhesion is solid. That doesn't really make any difference, because the animal still has a defect. Since the adhesion is coming off, I don't know when, tomorrow, next day, but this is an imperfect adhesion, then we can't consider the hole closed. If the hole is still considered open, even though in this configuration of having a sircha on the end of it, the animal's not going to die. But that's no different than the Rashba's Yeseris and Chaseris, a generally defected animal, and it's still a treifa. So that is what we're saying the pshat is in Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam, we mentioned, says that whatever is going to go ahead and in the end bring a treifa as a treifa, don't have time to discuss that really. Just one word on the subject. It is possible, although not at all not debatable, but it's possible that the Rashba learns this out from the treifa called Drusa, one of the main eight categories of treifas, which means when it's mauled by a poisonous animal. We're not talking about snakes now. We're talking about Chazal's Kabbalah tradition that certain animals had poison in their claws, which they could transfer, and this poison would do its damage. It could be it's learned out from there, because there also it's a future damage. Eventually the poison will do its thing, either by just immobilizing the functions of the animal or by actually causing some kind of internal puncture. It didn't do it yet, but it's still a treifa now, and could be that is the source for such types of treifas. Whatever the story is, we have Rashi, we have Rabbeinu Tam, we also have the Ravid. The Ravid says that, you know what, nothing is absolute. There are certain sirchas that come from punctures, and certain sirchas that don't come from punctures. Sometimes yes, and sometimes not. And there's no way to tell. Sircha kisidrin doesn't come from a puncture. Just they rub against each other, and that allows the juices to get through the membranes without a puncture, and that makes the adhesion. Sircha shelo kisidrin was hanging over there, it only got there with a puncture. That's what the Ravid says. And because the Ravid says that, he moves on to the next explanation of the Shittas Hagaonim that explains why a sircha tluya is kosher. A hanging adhesion. It's only connected on one end to the lung, the other lung is hanging, and it's kosher. This is always a challenge for shochtim that are less than fully reputable, because the minute the shochet sticks his hand inside the animal, if you can't trust him, he's going to rip the adhesions. And when it comes out for external inspection, it's going to go ahead and look as if it's a sircha tluya. It's a hanging adhesion. And the bodek chutz is going to be matshir that. Say that's kosher. So any responsible bodek doing internal examinations, whenever he's going ahead and doing it, he understands that the adhesion is going to be ripped when the lung is pulled out of the cavity. He cuts off a piece of the other end of the sircha. If it's not connected to the lung itself, it's connected to the wall of the internal wall of the animal or to some of the fat. He cuts that off so that when the external examiner gets it, he will see that this was not a sircha tluya. But this is where a reputable shochtim can go ahead and cause a lot of damage. So sircha tluya, the Ravid says, that's fine. You know why? Because such sirchas don't come from a nekev. That's great. That's his Kabbalah. Now the Ra, on the other hand, screams and yells. He said, what are you talking about? Rashi says all sirchas come from a nekev. Well, we don't ignore Rashi Shita. We pass them like Rashi. We worried about Rabbeinu Tam too. We pass them like Rashi. So, well, how in the world can you say a sircha tluya is kosher? If we have a Kabbalah that the adhesion is very special and then connected to someplace else and it's good and solid and supported on both sides, so that's a hole that healed itself. So the Ra says that's kosher, as we mentioned. But just a sircha tluya, that's evidence of a nekev according to Rashi. How can you master that? And the Rashba said, how can you go take on the gonin? It's not how it goes. So according to Ravid, it's all understood. According to Rashi, it's a big leap of faith. But that is Rashi Shita. That now it is sircha tluya is mutter. It's paskin and shulchan aruch. Simulamates sifches sircha tluya is okay, and that's the logic behind it. Obviously, according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no problem understanding why Sirach HaTluy is fine. Because the only problem, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that the expansion and contraction of the lung is going to cause, which is constricted by the Sirach, is going to cause it to rip the membranes of the lung. Well, if it's hanging freely, so there's no restriction of the lungs at all, and no reason to presume it's going to rip. Now, with a little time remaining to us, I'd like to discuss briefly commonplace practice in checking for adhesions. There's something that are called rearing. They're such minor adhesions that we're not concerned about them. Now, we have to know that the Mechaber says that a sircha, an adhesion, is a problem whether it's thick or thin as a hair's breadth. Doesn't make any difference. It's still a problem. And he says those people who take sirchas and roll them between their fingers and try to get them to detach from the lung are machilin treifis v'yisrael. So words of the Mechaber, simulamitas v'yud. But, that said, the Mechaber says, there is something called a sircha ben yomo, or a rear, which is considered not to be evidence of a nekev according to Rashi, or not to be evidence of constricting the lung that will go ahead and cause it to tear and rip, according to Rabbeinu Tam. And if it can be lifted with ever so slight pressure, Shochet just putting his finger under it and getting it off the lung, or if just when he moves his hand inside the lung it just breaks free with the greatest of ease, that's okay. If, the Mechaber says, you have a Shochet who's Yirei Shamayim Meirabim, then you can trust him. But these people who go ahead and do anything else, they're Machil and Treifus v'Yisrael. The Ramah says, in Lamentes, if you'd give them, that there are those who permit one to do this twirling action with the adhesion, and by that, if it'll come off the lung, by just twirling it around, that demonstrates it was never really stuck on and is not evidence of a puncture. Mechaber held that's machil and treifus, but the Ramah said that's okay. But he said you shouldn't do it, and you anyway need a bodek yirei elokim, and he knows how to do it carefully and not yank and not pull and not cheat. And the Ramah really recommends that even though it's the custom to do that, he says that the best thing is to avoid any such thing. And don't bother with that and stay away from it. Even though it's what the Ramah says, more contemporary Svarim, such as the Beis Dovid, says it already became the minhag in Klal Yisrael. Not for Svardim by letter of the law. Svardim by letter of the law, as the Mechaber says in Lamentes Sif Yud, is no pulling of sirchas, no miuch, no nothing, just whatever comes in, shochet yirei shamayim, with a light pass of the hand, or just putting his finger under it and being able to pop it off. That works. Otherwise, not. And that's what's called Chalak Beit Yosef. That's theoretical, because there's been Shoftim, the Beis Dovid brings from the Sefer Tasa Zevach, that he said for 44 years he was a Shoichet, he never saw one that didn't have anything on it. Never saw one. He said, anyone who tells you they're eating Chalak Beit Yosef, you might be suspect that they're exaggerating something. But, nevertheless, it became customary to do this. Not only became customary to do this, it became customary to do something else, because this isn't going to help a lot. This motion is not going to get many sirchas off. So instead, the Beis Dovid brings in Simen Lamentes Chelek Vav Yisod Abayis Os Vav, he brings that the custom was to take the sircha, which is customary now, and to stretch it. And slowly, instead of trying to get the whole sircha off the lung, which you can't really do when it's a good thick sircha, but to slowly break it down into real thin pieces and take one by one by one. And that's what's done in the Schlachthaus. That's how sirchas are taken off. That's called something very resemblant of kiluf. That's not at all the miuch that the Ramah was even discussing that was the minig. And the Beis David said historically This is a very recent custom in Klal Yisrael, and there was a big machlokas in Prague about this extension of the minig of miach, which is never so good in the first place. And there were gedolim on both sides, and the matirim won. He said, and everyone forgot there was ever such a machlokas in the first place, and they think that this was the original minig. And he says, that's the custom, and the hatstaka for this minig, justification of this custom is, says, because thousands upon thousands of lungs have been checked in this way. And when it comes off, they're all blown up, because there's a ray, so you have to blow it up when there's something wrong. As the Ramah said, Lamatas Sif Aleph is put in the water, and then no bubbles. So there are only two conclusions. One is that you didn't do a good job, and one is that we're just not bekiyim to know what bubbles are. Like maybe there are bubbles that we can't see. He said, but how many thousands of animals could it be? And we're all missing the point. So that's a justification for today's custom. And such things, if they're really easy to come off in certain other conditions, that's still what we call galat kosher. Not galat beit Yosef. Still galat kosher. But it's just good to know, for the record, that the Ramah on something much less than what's done said to stay away and keep your distance. Came the custom to do it. It was customary in the Ramah's time. And what's done today is an extension of that. So it's just always good to know what you're eating. Thank you for listening.